Scripture reading is Genesis 28, 10 through 16. So Jacob went out from Beersheba to go to Haran, and coming to a certain place, he made it his resting place for the night, for the sun had gone down. And he took one of the stones which were there, and putting it under his head, he went to sleep in that place. And he had a dream, and his dream he saw steps stretching from earth to heaven, and the angels of God were going up and down on them. And he saw the Lord by his side, saying, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and to your seed this land on which you are sleeping. Your seed will be like the dust of the earth, covering all the land to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. You and your seed will be a name of blessing to all the families of the earth. And truly I will be with you and will keep you wherever you go, guiding you back again to this land. And I will not give you up till I have done what I have said to you. And Jacob, awaking from his sleep, said, truly, the Lord is in this place, and I was not conscious of it. You may be seated. I chose the Bible in basic English version because I thought it was a little clearer. I think it's kind of significant. I didn't make a study of this, of the directions that these points of the compass were mentioned first. The very first one was west. Could that be? As from what we know, from the migration studies that we're doing, that's one of the first directions they went. And so maybe they're in order, just the way that the Israel people went. Well, most of the Judeo-Christian world has heard very little about the captivities of ancient Israel. Most of their pastors are aware of the split of the kingdom of Israel, resulting in the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. They are also aware of the captivity of each of these kingdoms. However, since little is known, much is left to speculation and assumption. Few of them, and likewise their followers, are aware of the magnitude of the captivities and migrations of Israel and Judah. They assume the following, and my response is in the brackets. They assume the population of Israel was relatively small, maybe in the thousands, when actually Israel was in the millions. According to 1 Chronicles 21:15, King David could field over 1.5 million men. This number did not include women, children, elderly, or the maimed. We can only imagine how massive the total population was at the time. Another thing that they assume, since Israel and Judah were in captivity, the impression is that they were penned up somewhere as if in a jail. Actually, they were captive, that is, in bondage to another king. Another thing they assume is since they were captive, certainly they could not have gone anywhere unless set free. There is no concept of a migration in their minds. And last, that most of the Israelites simply died off. Of course, as we know, that is a violation of God's promise to Abraham. Quote, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations of Israelites. End quote. Psalm 72:5 and many other verses. A question I like to ask when someone says the Israelites either died off or were lost from history is this. How can millions of people simply die off or get lost? How can millions just suddenly become extinct? Did the earth just open up and swallow them? Or did Scotty beam them up? The popular church does not seem to pay much attention to their own publications. Quote, the main diaspora, began in the 8th through 6th centuries B.C., and even before the sack of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. The number of Jews dispersed by the diaspora was greater than that living in Israel. Thereafter, Jews were dispersed even more widely throughout the Roman world and beyond. End quote. From diaspora, from the Apple Dictionary. They should not have translated it as Jews. That's the wrong translation, but we're used to that. Of course, they have the wrong people identified. Jews is the wrong term because the main dispersion was Israel, the northern kingdom, of the 10 tribes. Afterwards, before 70 AD, Judeans or Judahites and Benjaminites of the southern kingdom, who are also Israelites, were captured. At the time of King David's death, Israel had become an ancient superpower with the Phoenicians as their ally, not an obscure people stuck in the small land of Palestine. They were the dominant power with huge military resources, advanced technology, control over land and sea trade routes, and a close alliance with the dominant maritime power that was Phoenicia of that time. The Bible describes the interactions of the great powers of the ancient world, not insignificant events of a small population in Palestine. The Judean historian Josephus knew the 10 tribes of Israel existed. Quote, wherefore there are but 2 tribes in Asia and Europe subject to the Romans, while the 10 tribes are beyond Euphrates till now, and are an immense multitude, not to be estimated by numbers, end quote, from Josephus in his Antiquities. In the prophecy of Hosea, God said he would utterly take them away. That's from Palestine. And yet after their removal would make them as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, end quote. Yahweh our God keeps his word. Our scripture reading said that the seed of Jacob Israel would spread west, east, north, and south, and it occurred in that order. It is evident that this spreading of Israelites in all directions must mean at least lands of quite a distance away, for it says, I will be with you and will keep you wherever you go, guiding you back again to this land. That's the land on which Jacob was sleeping. End quote. This is strongly implied because Jacob's descendants would be, quote, as the sand of the sea, an enormous population to fill this huge area, and that they would be a name of blessing to all the families, that's Adamite families, of the earth. None of this passage would make any sense if it were localized to only that small land of Palestine. It is very important to understand something about the captivities and migrations of God's chosen people, which are not Jews. This is why I have prepared these lessons. One, as a review and summary of Dr. Blanchard's Bible Boot Camp. 2, to thoroughly cement this information into our minds. And 3, to equip us to better share this message with our racial brethren. And of course, all those Judeo-Christians out there who can't seem to grasp it as yet. As a brief review of the last lesson, we recall that there were at least 7 migrations of Israelites before Saul became the first king of Israel in 1097 BC. The Partholonians, led by a man named Partholon of Greece to Ireland, 2051 BC. Darda, who founded Troy before the Exodus, that's 1527 BC. Cadmus to Greece, the year of the Exodus, 1493 BC. And also Danaus to Greece, the same year of the Exodus, 1493 BC. The Tothu Dedanan to Ireland after Exodus, 1468 BC. The Milesians, who conquered Ireland in 1271 B.C., and last, Brutus, the king of Britain, after the Exodus, of course, 1103 B.C. Israelites were getting around, were they not? They were not extinct, did not die off, nor were they lost from history. They were only lost from the minds of the Baal priests of Judeo-Christian pastors. We continue now with the diaspora of Israel. This is a bridge from Dr. Blanchard's Book 2 and the Bible Mastery Boot Camp. Israelites known as Qumri. The Assyrian Empire rose to prominence about 911 BC after national Israel had split into two kingdoms, the House of Israel and the House of Judah. During the reign of King Ahab of Israel, the son of King Omri, an alliance was made between Israel and Assyria. As the power of Assyria grew, they began to extract tribute from the kings of Israel. In the Assyrian records, they referred to the House of Israel as Bit Qumri, which is House of Omri. Quote, the name Omri became an established term in Assyria documents to indicate the Israelite kings even after the death of Omri and his descendants. Assyrian analysts continued to refer to Israel as the land of, or the house of, Omri for 100 years after the end of his dynasty. This is from the Harper's Bible Dictionary. The king of Assyria, Shalmaneser, recorded his victory over 12 kings, Jehu being one of them, on the black obelisk on the Tigris River in Turkey. Shalmaneser referred to King Jehu as the son of Qumri, that is, a son of Omri. On this obelisk, which depicts Jehu bowing to Shalmaneser. It is a known fact that Israelites were called by many different names, depending on who was writing the history. This term, Qumri, referring to the house of Israel, was used by the Assyrian kings through the reign of Sargon until 705 BC, and then it was never used again. The captivities and migrations. Because of the continual rebellion of the house of Israel, Yahweh divorced them and allowed them to be taken captive. This occurred in several stages. One, in 745 BC, the capture of Reuben, Gad, half-tribe of Manasseh, and all of Naphtali. Quote, and they transgressed against the God of their fathers, and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them, and the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them unto Halah and Habor and Haruah, and to the river Gozan unto this day. This is from 1 Chronicles 5. Quote, in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abelmathaka, can't say hard to say that, and Genoa, and Kedesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. End quote from 2 Kings 15. These specific cities to where the Israelites were taken were just east of Assyria, near Ecbatana and Lake Ermia, which is below the Caspian Sea. The following historical reference matches the Israelites taken to this same area at this same time by the name of Scythians. In other words, the people called Scythians suddenly showed up at the same time the house of Israel was carried away captive in stages by three successive kings of Assyria. Quote, the Scythians did not become a recognizable national entity before the 8th century B.C., By the 7th century B.C., they had established themselves firmly in southern Russia. A Syrian document placed their appearance on the shores of Lake Ermia in the time of King Sargon, a date which closely corresponds with that of the establishment of the first group of Scythians in southern Russia, end quote from Tamara Rice and her book, The Scythians. So after 705 BC, the Israelites were known as Scythians, not as Qumri. The second one, about 724 to 720 BC, a second wave of Tothodedanans, that's from Dan and Danaus, to Ireland, and Simoni, that's Simeon, into Wales, and the Scythians into Arsareth. This was just before the fall of Samaria and the final destruction and deportation of the northern kingdom of Israel. Quote, the Tothodedanans came to a resolution of quitting the country for fear of falling into the hands of the Assyrians. Accordingly, they set out and wandered from place to place till they came to Norway and Denmark, where they were received with great hospitality by the inhabitants. When the Tothodedanans had continued for some time in this country, they thought fit to move and look out for a new settlement, and they arrived in the north of Scotland, where they continued 7 years, and then they moved to Ireland. End quote. This is from Keating in A General History of Ireland. It is interesting that the historical names of Ireland during this period were Ibern, Erne, and Hibernia, from the name Heber, the father of the Hebrews. Quote, it thus appears that the titles Hibernia for Ireland and Hebrides for the Western Isles are probably survivals of the Iberia title for the primitive stock, which first peopled the British Isles in the Stone Age. End quote from L.A. Waddell, The Phoenician Origin of Britain, Scots, and Anglo-Saxons. This, of course, is another connection between Israelite Hebrews and the lands into which they settled. Another migration of Israelites fleeing from the Assyrians went to the Black Sea area, including Arsareth, and were called Scythians. Quote, many of the people did not go into captivity, but evaded the calamity, going off with their flocks and turning nomads. Because these migrating Israelites had 220,000 armed escorts, one can estimate there were at least 1 million Israelites in this group of refugees when women, children, and elderly are included in the total. As this large group of Israelites resettled in the Black Sea region, many factors identified them as Israelites. The region to the east of the Black Sea and north of the Armenia came to be known as Iberia. The presence of the Hebrew name Iberia in the region north of Armenia verifies that this was an area of Israelite resettlement for those migrating there to escape the Assyrians. End quote from Collins in Israel's Lost Empire. This documentation shows many Israelites escaping captivity of the Assyrians by migrating to Ireland, Wales, and the Black Sea area. The third one, 718 BC, the fall of Samaria and second deportation of Israel to Assyria, King Sargon II of Assyria destroyed the city and took all the Israelites that remained. Quote, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes, end quote from 2 Kings 17:6. Notice that the Israelites called Gemara and Sumerians by the Assyrians were taken to the same cities as the first deportation in 754 BC. Fourthly, 710 BC, Assyria captures the cities of Judah. Quote, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them, end quote from 2 Kings 18:13. King Sennacherib's account of this event is recorded on the Taylor Prism, which is a hexagonal pillar of stone, which is in the British Museum. It says, quote, 46 strong walled cities, 200,150 people, great and small, male and female, horses, mules, asses, camels, cattle, and sheep without number, end quote. Now the entire deportation by Assyria included most of the house of Judah, that's Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, along with the northern house of Israel, that's the other 10 tribes. All 12 tribes have been removed from their land. Only the city of Jerusalem remained. God spared a remnant. Around 700 BC, these Sumerians migrated out of Assyria